My hero. He ran to me as soon as he spotted me coming down the hill, grabbing me and scooping me up the moment he got near. His familiar muscular arms wrapped around me, and he held me close to him for the longest time, his heart racing against mine. He finally pulled back and cupped my face in his hands.
Are you okay, Bug?
His big brown eyes peered into mine, filled with nothing but concern and love. He was doing his best not to cry, fiercely working his jaw as he tucked my hair behind my ears. I nodded, too scared to speak. Did I still have blood on my face? I still felt like I did, even though we'd washed it off in the sink.
Let's get you out of here,
he said, grabbing my bag with one arm and throwing his other arm around me. He paused for a second and looked up at the sky.
God help us through this moment.
He took a deep breath, then turned his gaze back to me.
Now you just close your eyes and keep them shut, Bug. Don't look at anything when we walk through all the commotion down there, you hear me? There's a ton of people, lots of things going on, and you don't need to see any of that. You understand?
I nodded. I understood it was a crime scene. A brutal massacre on campus, and he didn't need to tell me to close my eyes. I'd already squeezed them shut and buried my face in his chest, wishing he could protect me from the images. But it was too late. I'd already seen too much. The police scanners crackled. The air smelled metallic, almost like it smelled after it rained. Except it wasn't rain. It was blood. I didn't look at anyone or anything else while we walked through the masses of law enforcement, people multiplying by the second and crawling around the property like ants. I kept my head buried in Dad's chest all the way to the car. The memories made me shudder. I didn't want to remember the car ride or what the first few days back home had been like. I was so sick and scared, mostly from anxiety. The images. What we'd done. The part we played. I kept waiting for the phone to ring or a police officer to knock at my front door and take me down to the station, but nobody ever called. Nobody ever came. I watched the story from afar, and eventually I stopped worrying about it. I didn't have any other choice if I wanted to go on with my life. You couldn't stay stuck in trauma forever. That's what my mom made me promise when she died.
Don't you dare use this as a reason to throw your life away, Thera. You hear me?
So that's what I'd done with that last summer of camp. Same as I'd done with my mom. Moved forward. But now everything had come to a screeching halt. I'd never looked up any of my cabin mates once you could do things like that on social media. It had been hard in the beginning, but they'd been dead to me for years now. Decades, really. What would it be like to see Blakely after all this time? To this day, she was the best friend I ever had. Would she still snort when she laughed? Did she ever have the mole on her cheek removed like she swore she'd do when she was an adult? Was she still the same person? Was I? Were any of us? So many questions. But I didn't let myself think about the most important one. The one that mattered the most. Were we finally going to tell someone what we'd done? Make things right after all this time.